You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Today is the grand finale at the Democratic National Convention in Denver.
And I'm sure of suspense. One more little bit of suspense.
Well, it's he might not accept. Well, he's going to accept. What's suspenseful is how that speech goes tonight, because they've been building to this all week. I mean, we're talking about 4,000 delegates who have been covered by 15,000 journalists. And there are also just untold hundreds, if not thousands, of lobbyists, celebrities, lawyers, politicians, and they've been schmoozing all week.
Schmoozing. That's what they do in Denver. There's less oxygen there at Mile High.
There you go.
Smooze.
No, but seriously, and this is, of course, all what's been happening behind the scenes. There's been 300 parties. I mean, it's only 4 days, but 300 parties. Yeah. So where does the new congressional ethics law fit into all of this? The glitz, the glamour, and the money trail is what our contributor and senior editor for Essence magazine, Patrick Henry Bass, has been following. He joins us. Also joining us, Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein, who's been to a few conventions of her own and can tell us a little bit about the money, too. But Patrick, let's start with you. You've been following the money. Where is it?
I just want to plead guilty to being a schmoozy.
Good.
Schmoozy.
That's all right.
Thank
good.
You.
Well, they've been hiding the money, been hiding the way that they're using the money or spending the money, and they're actually trying to say that they're tied to charities. Last night, the big party was the Kanye West party with an organization called The One. No one really knows what The One does. They say that they are promoting global awareness and AIDS advocacy, but what it's really about, I think, is about the RIAA, which is the Recording Industry Association of America. And there were more corporations sponsoring this, I think, than you would see in Fortune magazine. It was like Viacom and Time Warner and Comcast, and you know, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. What's interesting is that the RIAA is advancing legislation right now that would charge broadcasters, radio broadcasters, to pay royalties for any song that they play on the radio. And that's not being stated at all. I don't think that Kanye said, throw your hands in the air and wave them just like you just don't care to, you know, make sure that radio broadcasters pay me. You didn't hear that last night.
No, you didn't. Well, set the scene for us. Who was at the party? What kind of atmosphere was it?
Well, yet again, our little show was not invited, you know, the Takeaway. So I was at another party, at the Creative Coalition's party with Target, and there were more stars than heaven could hold there last night, like Ellen Burstyn and Kerry Washington and Matthew Modine, and the list went on and on and on, Spike Lee. And we don't know what that party was for. It was a gala benefit for the Creative Coalition, which has been around since 1989, and I still don't get a handle on what it is that they do. Do you, John?
Well, I mean, Alec Baldwin's involved in the Creative Coalition.
Well, then we know they do everything.
And
then,
didn't
they
arise out of the National Endowment for the Humanities and the NEA, National Endowment for the Arts disputes back in the 1980s?
Supposedly so, but they're saying that they're not a lobbying group, although Susan Sarandon often goes to Congress to talk about public advocacy for arts. And the actors there last night seemed extremely scripted, like Hayden Panettiere from Heroes. Like, if anyone asked them two intense questions, they just move them on.
Did you ask an intense question?
Of course I did. No, I didn't get a chance to ask any questions.
So
it was very, very carefully scripted.
Well, you know, Adora mentioned this ethics law. Are there limits on how much people can pay for these parties if they're doing convention spending?
Well, there are certain ways that they're hiding this. Like, you know, if you have a charitable fundraiser, then it's a go. Like, there was this huge poker game that poker match with Ben Affleck where, you know, you got $5,000 for poker chips, and apparently it was supposed to go to paralyzed veterans in America. No one was talking about that this was sponsored by the lobbying group, the Poker Players Alliance. No one talked about that at all.
So it's really this odd mix of high-powered politicians and celebrities and corporate power. Are you seeing lots of handshaking going on? Have you met any lobbyists yourself?
This is the first convention I've ever attended where there have been more handshaking than booty shaking, ever. A lot of handshaking. Like at the party for John Legend and Harold Ford Jr., all I was doing was meeting attorneys and representatives from like Eli Lilly. And I can't say the specific lobbying firm because most of the lobbying firms have attorneys. So I think that it's safe to say that the John Legend, Harold Ford Jr. party had more attorneys than actual people there.
But there were certainly a lot of stars there, too. I mean,
absolutely. Star Jones. There were rumors that Jennifer Lopez was there or Beyonce was there. But again, this party was sponsored by the United Steelworkers. And all of them have open bar, by the way.
Of course. Andrea, are you surprised about that at all?
Well, you know, it's an opportunity. I mean, you know, full disclosure, one of the reasons that reporters like to go to these things is because it's a chance for us to talk to politicians and to, you know, meet them up close and personal and to chat with them and to forge relationships and to develop good sources. Now, we're not profiting from this, but clearly this sort of huge concentration of elected officials is attracting the lobbyists. Such an interesting year, though, because there has an ethics law has been passed between the last convention and this convention, so the money is all here, as Patrick has been saying, but it's much more hidden. Last time we saw placards everywhere. AT&T is sponsoring this, and Verizon is sponsoring that, and Time Warner is sponsoring the other thing. Now everything is branded a little more subtly. The other interesting thing is that the lobbying law, and actually it came up in one of the Democratic debates, was sort of derided by the Clintons or by Bill Clinton at one point as not being strong enough because it allowed people to eat standing up but not with a knife and fork. And we're seeing that all over Denver. Steak on a toothpick, a little hors d'oeuvre in one of those Chinese soup spoons, little finger sandwiches. I mean, it's some nice venues, lots and lots of alcohol getting passed around on trays, but also these little foods that you have to eat with your hands.
So there goes the ethics law, though, right there, right?
Right, and you can't find chairs at these events.
Well, I mean, I do think the branding's been muted. I do think that obviously the money is there. And, you know, the lobbying law is pretty strict and the campaign finance laws are pretty strict, although Barack Obama has opted out of them. But one of the things that is interesting is that this law was actually the main thing that Obama did, or one of the main things that he did while he was senator. And it's been mentioned in some of the floor speeches that he got into the Senate. I think Joe Biden said it last night and championed this lobbying bill.
And it's interesting to note that this time around, Andrea, as opposed to other times, as you mentioned, that you have this mix of people and not necessarily the great enthusiasm that you might have seen had the primary process gone differently. But it's not just these national offices, the politicians who represent these national offices. There's a lot of people running for governors, people running for local offices, and these are interests that businesses have too, isn't it?
Absolutely. I saw a local council member last night, and he said, I'm here at this convention working, and I've noticed that on the convention floor, I've been looking at the New York City delegation, obviously because of Hillary Clinton, and I've noticed that some big New York City lobbyists have been sitting right there in the crowd next to some top elected officials.
Yeah, there's this guy named Bakari Settles who's supposed to be the next Barack Obama, and he keeps popping up at parties saying, "I'm Bakari Settles, the next Barack Obama," and he gets in.
Not to put a fine point on it.
He really does. He gets in everything.
Well, maybe you should say that to the parties they didn't let you in.
Tonight I'm going to say I'm Bakari Settles.
No, you're the next
Barack Obama.
No, you're the next Bakari Settles.
That's
right.
You'll just get the whole thing going. But if you had
the things you do for shrimp on a stick.
Right. But Patrick, your overall impressions as to how the conventions actually work, what are they?
It's just the schmooze fest. It really is. Money really plays a huge role here. I'm thinking that the lawmakers have really won. The real winner have been the lawmakers and the lobbyists. They've really come out on top, I would say, which is unfortunate.
No one is
focusing on this. I think I'm not hearing anyone talk about this, Andrea. You?
Because everyone's having too good a time. I mean, you know, we're laughing about it, but it's quite serious. And these conventions are one of the last bastions of just open, huge amounts of money given right to wine and dine elected officials. Here we have it in front of us. I mean, I once had a clean money campaign advocate say to me that unless you took all money out of campaigns and had them publicly financed, getting money out of politics would be like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall.
Speaking of money, John Kerry made an interesting point this week, which is he said that Barack Obama has an advantage that he didn't have, which is he's not undergoing the federal financing rules. He's not operating his campaign under that. And so he's going to have money all the way to the end, and it sort of starts here at the convention, Andrea.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I actually saw somebody who was worked a media person did advertising campaign for Kerry and did it for also was doing it for Obama. And I remember in 2004 during the convention that he seemed to have a sinking feeling right there because John mm-hmm. Kerry had opted in and they had a full month before the Republican convention. So they had to spend out this pot of money over 3 months, and the Republicans had 2 months, and that gave them a huge financial advantage.
But that's things one of are going to be different this time. Andrea Bernstein, thank you.
Thank you.
And Patrick Henry Bass, takeaway contributor and senior editor for Essence, thank you. Andrea
thank
Bernstein
you.
Is our takeaways political director, and they're both coming to us from Denver.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.